This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat, she is back, the award-winning president and founder of Stealth ISS Group. It's Dasha Davis. Dasha runs stealth-iss.com. She's the founder of the company, the president. She's an expert at cybersecurity operations from GRC to ISO to CMMC. Welcome back to the hot seat.
Hey, thank you so much for having me again. Pleasure to be here.
And you served in the U.S. military. Thank you so much for your service as well.
Thank you.
So, you know, I'm in touch with, believe it or not, through our email. We have thousands of MSPs that sign up for our email system. And I'm like, what are all these MSPs doing thinking about cybersecurity? Can you tell us?
Well, of course. I mean, cybersecurity is a big thing. Everybody nowadays wants to be in that space because it's cool, it's exciting, and that's where the opportunities are. We're seeing quite a lot of MSPs getting into that space, which is great. I'm seeing a little bit of a caution here because we're seeing a lot of MSPs getting into that space and selling that to the clients, but there is some limitations. MSPs are good at operational things. They're probably good at XDR, MDR. I mean, you know, all these gadgets that are out there at the endpoint security, which is great. But security in general is more than just the technology itself. So we're seeing a little bit of a wrong sense of security when clients get this. Yeah, we got an MSP that does all our security. So it's a bit of a gray zone.
Yeah, and to add the S, the extra S, security, there's also compliance. And what's interesting is you wrote in a book, you have a book, Cybersecurity, It's Not All About Technology. So it's about people and people's behavior. Can you tell us, what is the MSP missing as they get into cybersecurity? And how can you and your team at Stealth ISS help them through this transition?
Yeah. So we've, over the last few years, we partnered a lot with MSPs to work with them side by side and team up, literally teaming up in as a team towards their clients or our clients to deliver a solution. And that is really the technology piece is, you know, the patching, the network, the IDS, IPS, XDR, MDR, you name it. That's a technology piece. But from my compliance perspective, and there are many companies, small businesses, all the way to Fortune 100, they are in some kind of an industry that has regulatory requirements. Might it be SOC 2 just because you want to show that you can do security and privacy, or you need CMMC, or you need ISO, or HIPAA, you name it. So it's passing those certifications and audits requires a different hat than the MSPs usually have. MSPs as default is operations. Get you up and running, keep you secure. That's pretty much it. But as a compliance perspective, you need evidence. You need to do it periodically. You need the documentation and the people. And honestly, I mean, I've been in this industry for 30 years now. I can say pretty much 70% is people and processes supported by technology, which is about 30%. And even if you have technology, it's how you configure it. It's those pieces, the hardening of the systems, the applications, that is key. And I think this is where the gap is between MSPs and MSSPs and or consulting companies, where I think the teaming up between those two areas needs to happen quite strongly.
Dasha, that's great advice. And in your training of MSPs, do you notice that their non-technical staff, you know, from the receptionist to someone in finance, I mean, is everybody a player in cybersecurity, or is it something they could just ignore and hope that their anti-phishing training got them through?
Everybody, including people at home, are part of this. Because today, I mean, honestly, just one example, we had a couple clients that called us up and said, hey, we had a breach. And they had all the security in place, everything, all good. But guess what? Is the hackers, and especially now with AI, they're not going the hard way, which is the firewalls, the technology, and bypassing endpoint security. They're going after the soft target, which is the people. And today, you literally can be on a website and you get drive-by malware. You don't even have to click on something. You just get it downloaded, or it actually looks legit. You get an email and you open something up, and then you get forwarded to Microsoft website to log in because you need to download something from SharePoint. It all looks legit, unless you know that what it really is. And so users, just their passwords get compromised because they're trying to do the right things, but then there's just so much malware, so much email that they're getting, is they're getting just tired. Authentication here, authentication here, MFA here and there, all of that can be pretty much bypassed. So the training, everybody, literally everybody needs to be aware. And as an example, I just did an audit recently, a big hospitality client, and I was running around, we're doing a pen test. I was literally out in public and plugging myself in into RJ45 plugs, with cables, antenna with my laptop. I even had employees and security staff take pictures of me doing that. Nobody questioned me. And I think this is the biggest risk is get everybody trained.
Absolutely. And if the cleaning company gets compromised and they're sitting at the VoIP phone in the conference room of the MSP, they might plug in and the MSP set up their own network to be easy access for their employees, and it's not bifurcated from the corporate network. And next thing you know, they're siphoning off customer records.
And honestly, it's I think the third party is also a biggest thing that a lot of companies are not realizing because, today everybody goes into, oh, I'll put it in the cloud, I'll put it as a service, and they trust the partners. And yeah, it comes down to, is it in the cloud? Do you really trust this vendor? Do you know what they're doing? Do you know where they're housing it? Because literally, you're just giving your data and the risk you're thinking somebody else, but you have no visibility. But ultimately, you, as the owner of the data, as the business owner or the business, you are responsible for it, regardless where you put it, if you have it on-prem or in the cloud. So the validation and the third-party risk assessment is just not there. We're not seeing it. And I think that's critical. And that's why I so welcome CMMC, just looking at the whole supply chain. Somebody doing something. Who else has access to it? Physically, logically, where is it outsourced to? And I think that's key.
Well, Dasha, that is great advice. The whole third party and the supply chain risk is growing every day. We have more SaaS apps than we can imagine, and who knows what those vendors, they're kind of MSP vendors in a way, and who knows what their security posture is. We just had a huge breach in the news, and 23andMe is going out of business, and they had a breach in a few years back, and millions of records stolen. So we're trusting to put our data in the cloud, and then I'm wondering if the bad guys are targeting, what are the, will the MSPs become the soft underbelly for the bad guys to target?
Of course. I mean, where do you go if you want to get something? You go after the easiest target and where you get the biggest bang for your buck. And what is it? It's where the data is. Where's the data? Well, usually, for example, insurance companies, healthcare industry, of course, critical infrastructure there for different reasons. But then the MSPs, because guess what? The MSPs have actually the keys to the kingdom of multiple clients. So why not compromise one MSP and then you got one too many? You got multiple victims if you go that way. So make it easy. I mean, that's why I'm saying it's going the hard way via a firewall or via anything is targeting one particular client. If you have a beef with them, probably, yeah. But overall, the way it goes, it's one too many. One foot in the door, get as many clients or victims as you want.
Wow. And the bad guys have to be correct only once. You have to be correct all the time if you're the defender. Speaking of which, AI is on the scene. Cybersecurity companies are bragging about their AI features and their machine learning. A lot of people are using the ChatGPTs of the world and Google and Microsoft. Everybody's getting in play with giant data lakes and rapid intelligent responses. Dasha, you wrote a book on this. What is the risk we face? Is it privacy? Is it compliance? Is it all of the above?
It's everything, really. One of the key things, and a funny thing that you mentioned, it is I actually did a presentation at the University of North Carolina together with MITRE as well, specifically on AI and security. And it's really, there are multiple risk factors. I mean, first of all, do you know the algorithm behind it? We
No.
don't know because there's no transparency. So unless we get there, and even if you use any kind of AI, ChatGPT or whatever, is the algorithm, what was it trained for? Are you really going to get the correct answer? Because every AI was trained for something specific to achieve a certain objective. We're not there yet that they 100% learn. But even if they learn to some extent, they only learn from the data that they receive. So you got to keep that in mind. And also, I mean, how many times have you probably also been with ChatGPT and then looked at the answer and it's like, that doesn't make sense? And then you ask ChatGPT, hey, can you really validate that this is 100% accurate? Go back and validate and give me the sources. And then it revises the information. So it's, trust but verify is one thing. And the other thing is also a lot of people are still using ChatGPT or any of those AIs to process data. Might it be copy paste or literally just API connection into it or straight connection to data lake? But where is that being processed? What are the security controls around the AI? And where else is it then going to show up? Because ChatGPT, you use it, you put data in, the data is there. So it's not private. So if you have any intellectual property, you've got to be careful.
So DLP leakage 101, that's new training for our employees because we've told them, hey, be productive, do a better job, go faster. And with ChatGPT and tools like it, it's the new calculator. We went from the abacus to the calculator, and nobody wants a calculator in their head anymore. But the problem is the calculator changes its answers depending. And they call that AI hallucination. And sometimes it wants to please its master, so it will change an answer to fit your narrative, which is not good. But also by putting your data into AI, you don't know where, what, who owns the data lake? And are there copyright issues? Are there company trade secrets just floating around in these data lakes? And are they going to be hacked?
Exactly. And that's kind of where I'm a part of what I indicated in my book is we need to secure the AIs themselves as well. Because just like any other tool, just like your servers, your file servers, the same thing with the AI, because any kind of code manipulation within the AI, the algorithm itself, can lead to complete different results. And depending on what the AI is doing, maybe even for security purposes, analyzing data to say if there is a risk. If you have an AI in the back end that is not protected properly, and a hacker changes the algorithm to tell it, hey, ignore these kind of activities. Well, guess what? You have an AI, you trust the AI, but guess what? You get hacked because the back end was manipulated and you did not know. So we have to literally set up the same controls around the AI itself, around the source code, around the data, around who even accesses it, who can change anything, the same way we're doing for any servers, any machines, any laptops, the same way, maybe even more.
And more transparency, I agree with you. Your book is a five-star reviewed book. Both books look amazing, Beyond Binary, Cybersecurity and AI. And the ethical concerns, I mean, there's so many issues from privacy to compliance to ethics.
100%. I mean, So, it goes back to where do you, what data are you using? What is the algorithm itself? And you want to make sure, and that's why I think, even though we're using AI and will be a lot more in the future, the human component will never go away. The gut feeling that we have, because at some point in time, we have to do the final check. Is the result correct? Is it ethically and morally even sound to take action on it? Because, I mean, sometimes you may feed it wrong data or it may calculate something wrong. And if it then denies certain people or certain age groups of certain things, that's just wrong. And so we got to have the checks and balances between our human gut feeling, our ethics and morals, and technology, I think.
Wow, Dasha, amazing advice. Not just your gut feel, but you have something that AI will never have. You have a soul and you have wisdom. And the MSSPs need this. They could use AI to go a little bit faster, but they have to do it in compliance. Dasha, how quickly can you get MSPs onboarded?
Hey, it's teamwork. Honestly, we work with them as they go. Usually, the easiest way is if the MSP has a client that needs compliance requirements, we work with them hand in hand to get the client set up, or we can really just work with the MSP to help them understand who their client and what regulatory requirements their clients have, and then find a plan to address as many of those requirements as possible, as quickly as possible. And we guide them, work with them on evidence collection, configurations, training, everything that they need really to, because it is a teamwork here. It is something that we all need to do. And MSPs, as well as security companies, play equal role in this.
Absolutely. It's just empowering, and we have a transformation, and smart cities are going to probably leverage MSPs, and we don't want them to be hacked as well. It's just a growing opportunity for digital transformation, but with security and compliance in mind. Dasha, is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners?
Honestly, I think right now is really a good and at the same time a scary time when it comes from risk and security. AI is really throwing a couple curveballs in, making things easy for hackers, easy also for wannabe hackers. A lot of information is out there that you can get your hands on and do malicious things without even knowing what you're really doing or without having the expertise. So I think we as individuals, as employees, as well as parents, as well as individuals, really, we have to play our role in this. It doesn't matter where it is, at work, at home, even with our Alexa and our IoT devices and everything we're connecting at home. Don't trust everything, review it, and just protect your own information as well, and protect everything that is you in a paper and digital format as well.
Wow, that is great advice. And most executives, especially at MSPs, they go home to houses full of IP addresses and devices that might be hacked. Just like you say, you got to take it home. Cybersecurity 101, it's wherever we are nowadays. It's our phone in our pocket, it's our baby monitor, it's our Ring doorbell, et cetera. It's our wireless routers. And of course, it's our computers and our networks.
And the fridges and the coffee machines and the Roomba vacuum cleaners and everything else that we've got. It's
Wow.
scary. And I'm just wondering how quickly are we going to get into creating networks at home? And I'm already seeing that on some vendors where you buy the latest modem or switch, where obviously it has the firewalls built in, but now you actually have already built in network segments for your IoT devices and for everything else. We're getting there.
We are getting there. Folks, you heard it here first from Dasha Davis, the president and founder of Stealth ISS Group, a top global CISO, an award-winning woman in cyber, an expert at GRC, at regulatory compliance from, again, ISO to CMMC. Go to her website at stealth-iss.com.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio. With your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.